This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome. It's the FC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Jake Watson with you. 10 p.m. this evening. As just mentioned before your news, we've got George and Kevin in the studio. Kevin and Kudu, wasn't he a footballer?
He was, yeah.
George, Kevin
and Kudu. He's played for Tottenham, didn't he?
Yeah.
A couple of times. Yeah. Who hasn't?
Yeah. Sorry, I just
no, it's good.
Kevin
and
George, there's a footballer there. Yeah. Oh, transfer rumours, stories, by the way. Oh. Alexander Mitrovic, as mentioned earlier, signed a new contract at Fulham.
Is he?
But, breaking right now, it appears Marko Arnautović's move to Shanghai SIPG is done. Completed a £22 million deal is what I'm reading as things stand. So Marko Arnautović is a Premier League player no more. And I think that everyone is pleased to see the back of him.
From what I hear, West Ham's other players are quite pleased he's not there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We mustn't forget he signed his contract extension the day we knocked him out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
He did, yeah. So yeah. Good point, George.
Unbelievable, wasn't it, this Marko Arnautović? So we'll get onto Wimbledon in a second. How he £50 million in January.
Yep.
Ended up signing a new contract, then didn't score or do anything in the back half of the season, no. And now they're selling him for almost half later. Yep. Unbelievable.
I think that shows the kind of character he is if West Ham are prepared to take a £28 million loss on him.
Yeah, massive. Right, I've not been here for a couple of weeks. What's been happening in the world of AFC Wimbledon?
That's quite a lot, to be fair. Can we start with a tribute, though? Because Vinnie Jones' wife died yesterday. It's very sad. She was one of the world's longest surviving heart transplant patients. And apparently, I didn't realise that she's suffered from cancer for the last 6-7 years.
Yeah, it was a long illness, wasn't it?
It was. So it's very sad. So rest in peace to Tanya. And if Vinny ever hears this, then on behalf of everyone of the 9 years podcast, I'm sure everyone at our club who supports our club connected to Wimbledon anyway sends condolences to him.
Yeah, no, well said. I'm sure everyone shares condolences. The very best to Vinny. Very sad news.
Yeah.
His wife, Tanya, passing away.
So, yeah. Well, we've had a few things, haven't we? I mean, it's been a bit quiet on the transfer front. We've only signed 4 players.
Only?
Yeah, but we need more than that. We know that. We've signed an inexperienced goalkeeper on loan from...
West Ham?
A Premiership team from West Ham. And we've signed... Luke O'Neill from Gillingham, good signing from right back. Happy with that. George
Leicester lad.
George is. He is, yeah, apparently is. So, yeah. Yeah. George was almost visibly excited by Luke O'Neill coming.
He's a good player.
Good set piece taker as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with him. We lost Toby Sibbick to Barnsley. We think we got £300,000 for him. And I think that's one of those transfers where great for him, well done, Toby. Good for Barnsley. They've got a potentially good player. I think we've got decent money for him, to be honest. That is quite a good deal. I'm not saying he's not worth that money, but he's not proven. He's played 40 games. I mean, that's quite decent, I think. And then we've got 2 players from non-league. we'll talk about the Brentford friendly in a minute. But they appear to be completely different positions, different quality, different backgrounds. But both have come from teams with the word metropolitan in their name.
Yeah.
Which is quite unusual. And that's about it, really. We've been linked with a huge amount of players. I started a rumour the other day on Thursday.
You started one.
I started one. I just thought it was funny. I was just about to go out and I went to see the recording of Dave Gorman's new TV show.
Yeah.
And I texted to our WhatsApp group, Ollie Palmer incoming. Ollie Palmer the Crawley.
We should say we have been linked to already this summer.
We have. And Ollie Palmer's dad was Prince Charles' security officer. There you go. Good one. So I just thought it'd be quite funny and see how far it went. And then I had my phone off in the TV studio, put my phone back on, 147 messages all about Ollie Palmer. And people getting very excited to him coming, oh my God, it's not actually true. So I had to go, I was actually joking. Oh, and I wasn't popular.
Well, you've been since removed from the group?
No, apparently not. No.
He's on his final warning.
I'm going to be sacked along with George.
Well, that's
every day.
Double standards. George been sacked.
Yeah. I haven't. Yeah, that's privileged, I suppose.
Unbelievable.
So that's the transfer rumours are still going, and there's still a few players to come in. There's been a few interesting names have been linked with, but we do have four new players in. We had a Meet the Manager session last week. We had a new kit launch, which is divided opinion. Some people are not a fan of the luminous lime. I quite like it, I have to say. Mm. Although you do have to be of a certain physique to wear that shirt. George, I've not seen George wear it. I tried mine on, and I may not wear it again. Jake, I'm not being funny. You would look better in the shirt than most of the people that I've seen wearing it.
Right.
But I'm. It's not a shirt for the overweight.
It's right, really okay. Not.
Because it's got this kind of... Remember Nigeria's lovely kit from the World Cup?
Yeah.
It's similar to that, though. There's almost like concentric circles around it. And it really...
It's not slimming.
It's not slimming at all. If hoops are not slimming, this makes... This is not
good. It's like we went through the era of buying Italian football kits, weren't they? Which were almost skin-tight lycra. It's not that. It's just not flattering.
No, it's not flattering when you're 51 and overweight. It's not a shirt for the overweight, unfortunately. Yeah, so that's basically it. We've had quite some.
Okay,
but this week is building
good
up.
Good catching up. See you next week.
Yeah. but this week we've got stuff happening. Yes. So I'll let George take over. But we've got a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah, but I mean, we've got a lot of stuff going on this week. We've got a game on Tuesday night against Bristol City, which should be an interesting experience. And then the squad are flying out to Germany.
Yeah.
Two games on Friday and Saturday. Yes.
You both going.
George and I and my son Dylan are going on Thursday, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Who is it? It's Kickers Offenbach, isn't it? And
Kaiserslautern.
Yeah. That'd be great. So, talk about maybe those couple of transfer stories from the week. Let's go with Toby Sibic. Did that come out of nowhere?
No, I mean, there was a bit of rumours that came out sort of like on Friday, I believe it was. We talked about it very briefly on last week's show. It's not really a surprise that it's come about because he is a good player that Arsenal and Watford wanted sort of when he was still in the academy. So, not a huge surprise. The fee's probably about right for a player in that stage of his development in the market now.
Yeah.
Sort of 300k, so it's not a surprise, but we've been able to get a replacement in within the same week, so fingers crossed it's going to work out for us and work out for him in the long run.
Yeah, if it feels that you're just pleased that you've got a transfer fee for someone, because you've had their fingers burnt so many times in that sense.
Well, people keep calling us a selling club. We're not. We don't sell them. We give them away.
We just go. Yeah.
I think probably the surprise would have been where he went. Barnsley was a sort of surprise. Where's he? He's certainly London boy.
South London boy.
So if he'd
gone
to
Arsleworth.
Is he? Well, there you go. So if he'd gone to Palace or to Charlton or Millwall, then it would have been a surprise. But Barnsley seemed to be a surprise. He played against them once last season, didn't he?
Yeah, he played in the home game, not the. He played like 5 minutes in the away game at the end.
Yeah. So he played in the 4-1 home defeat.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't
clearly
see him
impressed.
In the best light there. But good luck to him. I think it's a good. It's one of those moves that I think will work out for everybody.
Mm. And it felt though at times as well, the back end of last season, as you mentioned, he wasn't even in the team initially. It's Tenai, wasn't it?
Who was, yep.
Yeah.
And then he came in, and people we liked he was in, but still felt a little bit unconvinced by him. So any of your players who have been picked off, it feels a little bit, not surprising, but do you know what I mean? That he wasn't one of your... Well, Wimbledon fans wouldn't say he's one of our best players, but he's the one that's gone, he's the one who's gone for a decent amount of money.
But I think he's the standout player. If you look at all of our sort of homegrown players that came through, broke into the team last year, Paul Kalambai, Will Nightingale, who did a job but didn't really stand out. They don't do anything particularly well, but they do everything well.
Yeah.
Anthony Hartigan isn't really a flair player, so he's not really going to get picked up, and he's not the biggest, so probably Championship is a step too far for him until he grows.
Yeah.
Toby Sibic is probably the one who was most ready to move up a level or two. So it's not a surprise. I can't see him starting many games for them this year. But it'll be a number one. It'll be a number two for them in the future, definitely.
A number two.
Yeah, a number two.
A backup right back.
Can you see him as a Championship footballer? Do you think he can go there?
Yeah, at some stage, yeah. Probably this year he probably needs a loan in just a few minutes for them. But sort of from next season onwards, definitely could be a starter for them.
But yeah, I think he might probably benefit from being loaned out, play a full season somewhere, a bit less pressure. But
Wally did say that, didn't he, in his exit interview with Toby, that he wanted him to stay for an extra 6 months just because that would have been better for his development. So if that was sort of a situation that Barnsley were okay with, you'd have thought he would have stayed with us and then the deal gone through in January. So who knows, but clearly they've got plans for him.
Well, they've signed a few players, haven't they? They've lost a few players. They've lost a couple to Stoke, haven't they? Liam Lindsay went to Stoke.
They lost
the keeper's gone to Stoke,
did
too.
Did they lose the right back to Brentford? Am I right in thinking that? And that's why they've gone and got Toby Sibic.
The right back was Cavari, wasn't it?
No, it's not him. I can't remember. But yeah, I think they lost.
Brentford have signed a lot of players.
Yeah.
They signed Pontus Janssen as well.
£5.5 million.
I know. This is the thing. So we'll go on to Friday's game. But yeah, when you think they've just spent £5.5 million on Pontus Janssen, the bloke who scored the second goal for them against us on Friday, £2.5 million from somewhere. Yeah. Tom Dane, I don't know where he's come from. He's Danish, but it's only one level up. It's only one step up in terms of league of divisions. Yeah. But they've spent £8 million on players in the summer.
And you look at
never do that in total.
And you look at the team that we had playing in that last half hour, and I will come on to it, but we had our kids playing in that last half hour.
And so, it showed.
And it showed at times. Mm. So it really does show there's a big gap between League One and Championship.
Yeah.
Or between the bottom half of League One and the Championship, I should say.
Yeah, especially if you've got 2 17-year-olds in, and that the right side of the team, and then Ollie Watkins comes on. I think he's definitely a Premiership player in waiting.
Definitely. Yeah.
Ripped him apart. Now, that's not anything to do with them. That's not their fault, because he's a very good player. But I'm not sure that's a great idea. You put 2 17-year-olds on for their debut and put a really, really good player against them. Yeah. It just seemed a bit unfair. But anyway, it was a warm up. It was nice to see be back, and nice to see the blue seats, which segues perfectly into the next bit of the show, I think.
You're doing the job for me.
Thank you. Sorry, Jake.
No.
I feel bad now.
Terrible.
I've complimented on your physique. Now I've removed your manhood. Not in manhood. Not manhood in
Kevin,
that sense.
Kevin, stop talking.
I'm
going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. It's AFC Wimbledon fan show. Kevin, so what were you saying?
I can't remember now. We told him to stop.
Yeah, but before we had to stop.
Oh, see,
you're gonna. Yeah, we're gonna. You segged us in and then put me off.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Well, there's been an issue with seats. So obviously, when we moved into King's Meadow 17 years ago, it was Kingstonian's ground, and they had red and white seats in the main stand. Had been the case for there was just talks years ago that we would replace them as blue once the ground was ours. Hadn't happened, and for some time, people have had plaques put on the back of the seat. So if a parent dies or it's someone, someone means something to someone, there's a little memorial plaque on the back of the seat. Now, I presume some were also there from Kingstonian days.
Yeah,
Kingstonian
fans. This had happened like 15 years ago. So Kingstonian fans had invested in this sort of fundraising scheme as well.
So you have it. Anyway, so quite a few of the seats have got these plaques on the back. And it was then we discovered that Chelsea were going to take the seats out and put blue ones in, because it's now Chelsea's ground that we play at, let's be fair. Luckily, Chelsea wear blue, so it would look quite nice with blue seats for us. Unfortunately, the club, in their own words, didn't get round to telling the season ticket holders who had those seats with plaques on that was going to happen. And the only way they found out was when a fan went along to buy something from the club shop and saw a skip load of seats. And all the seats had been ripped out and chucked into a skip. And all the memorial plaques are still attached to said seats. Mm. Now, people were saying, well, that was my dead dad or whatever. And then the club have said, well, nothing we can do about it now. But now they're saying, well, even if we'd taken them off, they probably wouldn't have survived. But surely, how hard would that have been? I know someone's taken responsibility for the press release that went out saying we didn't get around to it. And they said, well, that's bad wording on my part. I apologise. So fair enough. But that's not really the point. The point is that it was done in the first place.
But also the
PR disaster. Yeah. What a PR disaster that is. How hard is that to send out an email to everyone who has a seat in that stand to say, if you've got a seat in the stand, if you'd like, they're being taken out, if you'd like the seat, come and take the seat, why not?
Yeah.
Or, as George said, surely we save some for the museum at the new ground, because this is the seats we had in our previous ground. If you've got a memorial plaque, come along and either take the seat, or if you want, bring your own screwdriver, unscrew the plaque. If it breaks, unfortunately, it's not our much we can do about it. How hard would that be? But now people are quite upset that it looks like the club have gone well and they've let Chelsea, in inverted commas, rip the seats out. Well, Chelsea's ground. They can do what they want. And apparently they did tell our club that was going to happen. So it's not good.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the problems is that the skip full of seats emerged like 2 weeks ago. The club put out something on the day of our first home pre-season game, where they knew they couldn't kick the can down the road anymore. And it sounded like the statement, which was written by a Donnchadh board member, was written in a real hurry on that day. So it seems like the club gave this no thought whatsoever.
And it's not a Donnchadh issue.
No, it's a football club issue.
So it shouldn't be. It shouldn't have been him. Let's mention it. Rob. Thank you, Rob, for owning up to doing that. Well, it's not his job.
No.
It's not the Donnchadh job to write a letter or an email to the fans, placating the fans or attempting to. On something that's not a Blunt's Trust issue. That just seemed very poor. It sounds kind of trivial. Well, you can imagine clubs saying, well, so what? But that's a big thing. I think it's a big thing.
I was going to say, I was just kind of listening to it there, I think it's absolutely appalling. You know, if
if I had a, you know, a commemorative, you know, plaque on the back of a family member, and that had just been ripped out, and the first I knew of it was seeing a picture of it in a skip, I'd be absolutely fuming.
Well, people are very cross about it, and that email sadly didn't help. I know the idea was like just basically say we knew we were going to get around this. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. Would have been a better way of saying it, but even better than that would have been to have actually told him in the first place. It's, we just seem to, as a club, again, pointing fingers at nobody in particular, there does seem to be, on almost sort of every other day, something trips us up, or we said something poor, or there's the wrong wording, or there's something happens. Like today, there's a meeting happening now, an informal Don's Trust get-together, and missives went out at 6:42.
For a 7 o'clock meeting.
I mean, people had heard about it before, but there was no reminders got out. Sure, I mean, it was mentioned 2 weeks ago. I discussed it last Tuesday, like 5-6 days ago. But there was nothing between Tuesday of saying... But even on Tuesday, we had this kit launch and the meet the manager. That's when someone from the Don's Trust should have gone, oh, by the way, don't forget, Sunday, 7 o'clock, we got an informal meeting at the Prince of Wales, which is obviously in Wimbledon. So the chances are that people are going already, are already there, but... It's going to minimise the people. And again, it's pointing no fingers at anyone in particular. It's just a shame that there can't be some coordinated effort of, right, we've got an event on Sunday, let's go and let's tweet the hell out of this. Let's do an email broadcast.
Yeah, but this isn't the first time there's been things of this. This ilk, as you mentioned, it just feels that for whatever reason it keeps happening. Do you think it's just a lack of bodies within the football club, or do you just think it's the people within it aren't particularly great at the job? Is that a fair assessment?
It's got to be both, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be both. Because it's obviously that is a Don's Trust issue. But then again, the Don's Trust board members have so much other stuff to do. It's like a full-time job for them.
Yeah.
I think the ones that have only since November have been in position are starting to realise just how much work there is. Because they've all got other full-time jobs. They all work 9 to 5 or 8 to 7, get home and do 3 hours extra work. And it's a tough amount of work to do. It's a tough assignment. And then, of course, they go to games and they get harangued. So they can't just go to the game and sit there. They're almost on duty the whole time. And it's tough. I wouldn't do it. I'm not the right person to do that anyway. But, I don't want to criticise people at the club. Yeah. But it's not that difficult. Some of the things that don't happen or go wrong, you just think, come on, how hard is that? That's what I do for a living. I'm a communicator. Hard to believe, isn't it? That's what I do for a living. I'm a journalist and I broadcast other things, and I just think I couldn't get away with that.
No.
Simply couldn't. And I'd understand if I had a boss and he said, look, you can't say that, or why have you missed that out? You'd think, OK. I produced a magazine a year ago, 18 months ago, which we sent out 18,000 copies, and I had... misspelt something very simple on the cover. I hadn't noticed. I could have jumped off a building. It was horrific.
Yeah,
but you know, it was all right in the end. But I don't know. I just that professional pride thing. It's got to be there.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not, but it isn't always evident.
At times it feels lacking. Should we actually talk about some football then?
Go on, George.
The plaque issue. You said you may not have heard about it if there was not a game on that evening. So let's talk about the actual game, shall we?
Yeah, well, I mean, we played Brentford. We played a 60-30, which is what I think most of us expected to do. We played what you'd probably say is probably our stronger team in the first hour, which from the look of things went up against a mixed team from Brentford. Brentford mixed it up a bit more than we did. But we got into half-time was 0-0. Poor first half, not much really happened.
One shot between us, wasn't there?
Yeah, not much to talk about from the first half. Then they scored just before we made all of our subs, where Will Nightingale made a mistake with a poor back pass, then fell over. Nathan Trott, our new goalie, probably should have done a bit better with the in terms of trying to save it, but went in 1-0, we made all our subs. Then it was basically our under-18s defence against the Championship attack for the last half hour.
Baptism of fire.
Yeah, they scored their second from a set piece, and our under-18 left back, who was playing at right back, got sort of isolated against Ollie Watkins for the third. So not really a surprise that happened. But in terms of positives, Nesta Guinness-Walker played really well. Paul Kalambai stood out as well. He's bulked up a lot over the summer, hasn't he?
He's a big lad anyway, but yeah, he's even bigger. You're right, George.
Yes.
It's going to expire then.
Yeah, some of the less positives, let's say.
Yeah.
Obviously, Nathan Trott, potentially up for the goal. Will definitely up for the goal. Adam Roscoe. First time we've had a chance to see him.
Yeah.
Thoughts. Initial thoughts.
Yeah, he's someone who it was clear he hadn't played anywhere near this level of football before. So it'll be interesting to see if he can pick himself up to that standard.
He left Cardiff Metropolitan University FC, who were playing in the Europa League.
Yeah, and they lost.
They did. I didn't realise he'd only scored 15 goals in 30 games last season.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't even prolific.
It's a strange one at that level. If he'd have scored 40 in 30 games, you think, he's got something.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I mean, I've not seen any Welsh Premier League football, to be honest, but I can't imagine one of our scouts going to that game, seeing him and thinking, he's League One.
But the thing is,
maybe he is, and it's hard to.
No, it is a fair point because I thought the exact same thing. I thought the exact same thing that he's a striker and he's not prolific at that level, and this is a hell of a jump. Mm. I mean, not all strikers are goal scorers, but it does strike me as somebody has seen something or knows something that clearly we don't.
Yeah,
but this was someone who was recommended to Wally by one of his mates.
Yeah,
we didn't have him in for a trial, so we signed him without a trial, which with that level of jump is always a risk.
Yeah,
and he looked a long way off the pace, but he's been playing full-time football for 2 weeks, so he should improve. It's a question of, does he improve enough to be able to make a difference for us this season?
I mean, I was told Welsh Premier League football is about the level of, it's not far off combined counties.
I'd say that's very harsh. I'd say it's probably Conference South Isthmian.
You reckon?
I reckon it's probably not far off that.
Okay, well, he needs to improve then.
Yeah.
I think the other issue, again, it's hard to talk about, we've only seen him once. The goalkeeper, Nathan Trott, I have a West Ham fan, a good friend of mine, who said that he'd heard, never seen him play. I'd heard great things about him. Mm. So the issue we've now got is that our two goalkeepers, we've been very lucky. George Long was a fantastic goalkeeper. Aaron Ramsdale, I would put money on him playing for England one day. I think he's that good. We've now got two goalkeepers who don't have a single senior appearance between them. Nathan Trott has played once in the Checker Trade Trophy, once. Nick Zanev has not played senior football. He was on loan at Potter's Bar. And then was it Hemel Hempstead or wherever he was at?
No, Potter's Bar sent him back.
Potter's Bar Town sent him back. He's a New Zealand international. At football, which is like being an international for Peru at cricket, let's be fair. And so we've got our two goalkeepers don't have a league appearance between them, right? And then the fullbacks he started against Brentford don't have a single league appearance between them. I think that's the concern for me, is getting young, hungry players in, yes, but then you need the likes of Luke O'Neill to come in, who are 27 and have got 160 games under that metaphorical belt of theirs. But Nathan Trott is so slim.
Yeah.
Slight.
I mean, not filled out yet. He's still a height of a man, but built like a boy.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing. We talked about this on Friday. We talked about this on Friday at the game, and he's barely 6 foot, and he looks like a 6 foot winger rather than a goalkeeper. And the problem with that is, at some point in the season, he's going to have to go against a challenger, against an Ollie Hawkins or a League One centre half who is sort of 6 foot 3 and rock solid, who were just going to come charging into him. And will he be able to hold the ball, or will he even be able to stay in one piece when someone charges into him? That is the question, and no one knows the answer yet.
Zanev is taller, but he's not massively built.
No, he hasn't filled up.
But he's a bit more of an athletic build. Nathan Trott, I just had his picture of Nathan Trott coming for a corner, and then Christian Burgess from Portsmouth just breaking him into six bits. I mean, I'm hoping he's... Because David De Gea was quite... That was his issue when he came to Man United.
Nathan Trott is, 19, 20? Nick Zanev is 21. So these are boys who haven't properly filled out yet.
Yeah.
But the worrying thing is they won't fill out now across this season.
Yeah.
The physical state they're in now is, they'll be pretty much till the end of the season. Mm. And that's a worry for them because they're not going to fill out. And that was a big difference. When Aaron Ramsdale came in, we could see it when we were defending set pieces.
Yeah,
because he could come and clear everyone out. We won't have this year. There's a lot more pressure on our centre-halves.
Yeah. And that is the thing, isn't it, with a goalkeeper. At times, they can do so little. But at the same time, whilst they're doing or appearing to do not a lot, they're actually incredibly vital. You know, they have to radiate that kind of confidence and safe. And you know, we've all sat there watching a game of football, and even when the goalkeeper isn't doing, thinking, "Oh my God, don't go near the goal," because you don't have, and that radiates throughout the whole team.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of pressure on him to come in, because, as you said, he will be the number one, barring any absolute howlers in the on the build-up. Or if Wally is completely, he's nowhere near where Wally thought he was at. But, you know, he will come in as the number one. So it's a huge amount of pressure for him.
But that's the thing. What was it? Like, this time last year, we came in with, was it Tom King, who came in online, had a really poor start to the season, and we dropped him for our backup. It was Joe McDonnell, who at least had some senior games under his belt.
Yeah.
This year, we don't have that option. Really, whatever happens, Nathan Short will be our number one till Christmas. However badly he does, he will be our number one till Christmas.
Yeah, and West Ham were wanting to play.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not sending him out on loan to sit on the bench. But let's be positive, however. As George said, Nesta Guinness-Walker, our left back or left wing back.
Yeah, I saw a couple of videos from Met on Police.
Twitter. Yeah, no, he played really well. Considering
he looked like he did not look like he'd come from Southern League South into League One. He looked like he was a good player. Again, he's very young, very athletic. Comes from a good family. Calls Alec Guinness's great grandson.
Is it true?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his mum is Sally Guinness. Alec Guinness. No, his nan. Hang on. Yes. Sally Guinness is Alec Guinness's granddaughter, that's right. His mum is Sally Guinness, the actor. So, he comes from a very famous family. I've said now how I have seen Star Wars now, so I can't use that anymore. He looks good. I was happy with him. You see a player and you think he's got something. You can't really tell anybody else what that something is. If you saw him,
just
walking,
looks like a proper footballer.
Exactly what I'm going to say. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, you care. It's your show. But I just thought, if you saw him in Sainsbury's, you'd think, I bet he's a footballer. Yeah. Even if you didn't know. Yeah. He just has something about him, and that's what you need. If you saw Nathan Trott in Sainsbury's, you'd say, where's the yoghurts, mate?
Yeah. That's the thing. The other positives coming from Friday, I thought, were Ruben Collins, who was our young academy centre-half. He played at centre-back.
Terrible boots, though.
He wears Sandico
boots. They've come back.
Have they?
No, I don't know.
No, they haven't. Ruben, just, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, has always just decided he goes to Sports Direct and buys a pair of boots. He don't really care about it.
Yeah.
He just goes and buys whatever he thinks looks nice.
Yeah.
Traditionally, it's a pair of black and white Sandicos.
Yeah.
But I thought he played well. Jack Rudoni, I thought, played really well. The young central midfielder who we're hearing quite a lot about.
Yeah, he was overpowered a few times, wasn't he? But then again, he's overpowered by someone who's played international football.
Yeah.
So, they do look, to me, the likes of Rudoni and Proctor probably and Collins look like they need a season in the conference.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's the National League. Apologise to your non-league specialist. Give them Sutton or Woking or Ebbsfleet or Torquay. Just send them somewhere they're going to get regular games and build them up. Because men's football, senior men's football, is a million miles away from under 23. That's why we don't have the development squad anymore. Because Wally said it's
not
pointless.
Developing them.
They're not being developed. Because where are they coming from? So send them out on loan. Unfortunately, they're going to get in, but they're going to get injuries, or they're going to come up against players who are much bigger and much stronger. Great. That's where you're going to learn. And they're going to maybe live away from home for the first time. It's quite a big thing for them. But I think there's a lot to learn from those players.
Wally has said that on record, that he does want these boys going out on loan, because he wants them, by the time they're 2021, breaking into the first team, he said he wants them having 50 to 100 games under their belts.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to develop. That's what sort of held Paul Kalambay and Toby Sivic back, because they came through with very little, well, no senior football under their belt when they broke into the first team.
But Wally's other point on Tuesday was the fact that you look at Kalambay from the academy, there's no one pushing him from the academy. You look at Anthony Hardigan, who's only just now too old to have been an academy player. There's no one pushing him from the academy. He needs someone in between the good 18-year-old and the excellent 20-year-old. You need somebody else to push him, and we currently don't have that because of the sort of lack of competition, if you like, from the development squad. So I don't have a problem with what he's done there. He's done it for the right reasons. So.
Yeah. It's just gone half time. It's the FC Women and Fans Show on Love Sport Radio.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, and it's the FC Women and Fans Show. Jake Watson. I was going to say as ever, but it feels the last couple of months. I'm doing what all people should do during the off season. I'm taking holidays. I am here next week. And I'm not here the week after that. But I will try be more consistent. Because that's what we want in football, isn't it? Consistency. Oh, we've been speaking about a couple of the new signings, first chances to see Trott, Ross, Grow. Interesting opinions, interesting thoughts. Initial Ali looking at them. You mentioned Luke O'Neill. Let's have a little chat about him before we go on and do some meet the manager chat. I know you were there. As I mentioned, I remember seeing Luke O'Neill come through at Leicester. He never really played, played a couple of times. He was never kind of going to make the grade. But I've always watched him, interestingly. And I know he had a really good couple of seasons at Mansfield and then ended up moving to Burnley. And I thought, brilliant. And then he couldn't get in at Burnley. Yeah. But again, he found his level he was at Gillingham and he was captain.
Yeah.
And it, brilliant. And I think it's a really, really good signing. You talk about, you know, that perhaps a lack of experience within certain areas of the squad. Luke's a great age and he's a top fullback at this level.
Yeah, no, he's a really good fullback. He's a really good set piece taker, which is something we haven't really had a good right footed set piece taker for a couple of years now.
We haven't scored direct from a free kick on purpose for 5 years.
Serious?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a stat.
2014 away at Southend, George Frankham.
Yeah.
And that was deflected.
George Frankham.
Yeah, Callum Kennedy scored in the promotion season against Hartlepool from the halfway line, but it wasn't meant.
That was a cross that went wrong.
Oh, it was a dink into the box that a kid missed. So yeah, it's 5 years and he scored a free kick on purpose.
Wow,
incredible, isn't it?
He
hasn't got much to live up to in terms of set pieces.
He gets one on target, he's going to be a god.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's interesting, you talk about the squad, how it needs to be stronger, is that we spotted two of our lone players from last season in the stand on Friday. Now, that was interesting.
Who?
Steve Seddon.
Yeah.
And Michael Falivi.
Both of whom we've been linked with in the last week.
I was going to say, I'd read somewhere that Falivi was about done, that he was coming back, and there was hopes, wasn't it, of Seddon, but you thought that it probably wouldn't.
Well,
that's very promising indeed.
Well, my question, I understand full well that he signed a new contract at Birmingham for 2 years, doesn't mean he's going to be in the first team.
No.
However, why was he there? Why would you go back to a friendly?
Well, you obviously kind of made friends and just come to watch the game. But no, I would lean on the side of it would appear all things would be pointing to the fact they'd be coming back to the club on loan.
Especially when you consider on Tuesday when someone did ask about Steve Seddon, Wally got very coy all of a sudden and just started laughing before saying next question.
Yeah.
So again, that's another something might be in the pipeline.
And it goes without saying you'd like both of them back, but in particular Seddon.
Falivi, he did okay. He didn't play much the last couple of months.
But that's because he started off when we were still playing, sort of trying to play good football. But then at the end of the season, when he just became desperate for points, we just dropped him to bring on James Hansen, and we just started playing oof ball. But I think, especially when you look at our depth of our forwards this year, Michael Falivi would be a welcome addition.
Yeah, I'm Seddon would be huge for us.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, watch this space.
Let's hope that is done.
Yeah, I saw a tweet actually earlier on today. Actually, somebody asking someone at the 9 Years podcast, saying, "Is the squad stronger or weaker than this time last year?" What were your thoughts? The reply here is, that's a good question. Ramsdale and Seddon are huge losses, no matter who comes in to replace them. But rumours about the latter returning aren't going away. So, yeah, as things stand, because the amount of times I heard people say, this is the best squad we've had, most money we've spent, last season.
Yeah.
The hope is that, well, the feeling is that much more positivity around the club at the moment. You know, whether that's simply just down to the way the season finished last season or the belief within Wally. But in terms of the squad you actually have, because of the likes of Hansen, Sibic, and they have gone, Ramsdale has gone.
Yeah.
Is this team, right now, as it stands, better than last season? Because if it's not, then that's quite worrying, isn't it?
I think it's stronger than what we started with, but weaker than what we ended with last season.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
I think that's probably the best way of putting it.
When you look at the depth, when you look at who came on in the second half on Friday...
Yeah.
It was a bunch of kids, and it's a bunch of our kids, and they will be good players, I'm sure. But that's what we had. We brought on Joe Piggott. It was mainly,
it was kids.
It was mainly the kids and Joe Piggott. We've defensively, I think, we're fine. I think Terrell and Rod and Will and Paul are great. We don't need to add to them. If we can get Steve Seddon in, we've got two very decent left backs.
Yeah.
If Kyron Stabana is Luke O'Neill's backup, he looked okay as well.
And the other thing is Luke O'Neill played pretty much every game for Gillingham last year. So that is another reassuring thing of maybe we don't need to spend so much money on a high quality backup right back, because he should be good for most games. So we can save a bit of money there.
The problem is he breaks his leg on the first game of the season.
Yeah, no, I've jinxed that. He's going to do his ACL on Tuesday now, isn't he?
But midfield worries me a bit. Not numbers but creativity. We don't have that creative midfield player, really. Anthony Hartigan does play that role, but he's more of a... He plays in front of the back four for me. I think that's where he's best. He doesn't have the pace to go any further, and that's no criticism if his dad's listening. Sorry, David. But he's not a particularly quick player. He's just not.
But I don't think we need that creative midfielder. If we've got Luke O'Neill and Steve Seddon or Nesta Guinness-Walker, who are all very creative wing-backs, yeah. I think all of our creativity and options and sort of attacks will come from out wide. And then using sort of Wordsworth as a battering ram in the middle.
Really? A battering ram?
But I think that's what...
You want to look at your Civil War history. Trump was bad enough. Anthony Wordsworth as a battering ram is quite funny. Anyway, no, sorry, I'm just joking. Like ramming the ramparts. Yeah.
But is it concerning then? Because because obviously the last thing we want is for a season to be what it was last.
It's not concerning on the 7th of July, no.
No, especially when Morley has said we're still trying to get players in. Mm. And the other thing is, even if it is a season where we are battling bottom four like last year, this team is a younger team that are much better to watch than what we started with last season.
Yeah, I think. I'd be worried if this was the Friday before the first game of the season, and this was our squad.
Yeah,
I would be very worried indeed. But I think we do need another forward. If it's Michael Philly, it'd be fine. But we stayed up in no small part thanks to James Hansen's involvement. Obviously, he's gone. That's fine. He's gone back up north. Good luck to him. We've saved. His wages were quite large.
Yeah, yeah.
They were over. We over budgeted getting him in. But it would be nice to have another centre forward of that mould, because Joe Pickett is not that kind of player. He's not a similar height, but he's just not that kind of player. Right. He doesn't play like a tall player. He plays like a smaller man, even about the fact of his 6'2". I think I would like to have a backup Hansen, if it is Ollie Palmer, or again, someone from non-league. I've got no problem, like, or someone like Frank Newball. I mean, is he still at Newport? Or did he go?
I don't know. Frank Newball's a weird one, but yeah.
Colchester.
Is
Colchester. No, so his brother's just signed for someone.
Has he?
Yeah, I think he may have just gone into the Football League as well. Yeah. But yeah, but anyway.
That kind of player, that kind of build.
But Pickett could go, you know.
He's not that player.
Pickett could leave. I'm just talking.
Especially when you read the rumours about that Millwall who were trying to buy a Reading forward for £750,000 today.
John Bodvarsson.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
£750,000.
Which would obviously free up Reading to need a striker and have a lot of money to spare, which could reignite those rumours.
But that's fine. The money to spare is fine. If generally we can get £500,000 for Joe Pickett, sorry, you take the money.
Yeah.
You have to. That's a huge amount of money for someone we paid £25,000 for a year and a half ago.
Especially when you consider that brings our total income this summer to like over £800K.
Yeah.
Which for us is a ridiculously large
summer. And you think how much money we're in at the FA Cup as well. Yeah. So that's... This year alone, 2019 alone, if that does happen, we've earned £1.6 million
which is huge.
That's not been budgeted for. That's a huge amount of money for us.
Of course it is.
It's Alexis Sanchez earns that in a day and a half.
A minute.
on a bad day. But I think our expectations are slightly higher than they were last season because how we ended the season.
Mm. But Wally said that on Tuesday because he worked out that our points per game from when he came in to the end of the season, if you spread that over a whole season, we would have been 13th. So he said that's our target for this year. And that's a hugely optimistic target for a club of our size in this league now. Mm. So that's, I think, probably set our targets too high in that regard this season.
Yeah, but aim for the stars, you might find. What's that phrase?
I can't remember.
But aim for the gutter, you'll end up in the gutter. Aim for the stars, you might end up, you know.
I get it. I can't remember what it is, though. We'll Google it. And I'll...
Yeah, can someone send... If someone tweets... Gary Fletcher, you're tweeting stuff in. What is that phrase, please?
Thank yes. Need to take a break when we come back. We will talk about your Meet the Manager, the kit launch, also preview Bristol City and that tour to Germany, which both of you are heading on. We'll do that next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. AFC Women Fan Show. George, should we talk about your Meet the Manager that's happened?
Yeah, it was sort of coincided with our kit launch.
Yeah.
We've talked about the kit very briefly already. I believe there's a couple of photos on the 9 Years podcast Twitter feed, so if you want to go back and look through them. It's a lime green shirt with sort of a white pattern on it, which doesn't suit the finer figures amongst our fan base, which is not going to be great for the rest of the season in terms of what we can see. But it's a sort of grey shorts and the socks look very smart as
well. Grey? All right, granddad, it's graphite.
Graphite.
That's what it says.
Who's selling it?
Yeah. It's graphite.
I'm going to get in trouble from the marketing manager now, aren't I?
Sacked.
I'm not sure what the green is. This is a luminous lime kind of colour.
I think we're calling it lime.
Are we calling it lime? Okay, lime and graphite.
That sounds nice.
Sutton United's chocolate and amber, or orange and brown, if you know. Being a bit pedantic.
So, the meet the manager was a couple of topics interesting. The formation, which we all got wrong. Someone in the 90s podcast team, who I'm not going to name, Stu, who basically said we were going 4-4-2 this season.
He was insistent
on that all summer, while he came straight out and saying we're playing a 5-3-2 this season. So, like we were last season, he's basically said the players got used to that, gained confidence in that, so we're sticking with it. He also came out with a very long sort of answer about team talks, where he gave a very, very long-winded answer, which is basically all came down to the fact that he doesn't actually say anything at halftime. He writes a note on the sort of flip chart we have in the dressing room, and that's all he does.
Well, he doesn't say anything.
Not really, no.
No, because he's saying because the players won't take it on board, because they would have had their pre-match instructions. They'd be thinking over their whole performance in the first half.
Mm.
So he thinks they won't take anything on if he says it at half time.
Comparing them all to a full glass of water.
Yes.
You keep pouring the water in.
No, I get it. I'm trying to rack my brains now, because I heard a similar thing before. It may be Pep or Henri or someone that says he only gives like three instructions. Mm. You know, in terms of the pre-match, because they say you just can't take on that much information. I can't think who it is, but yeah, I mean, surely you have to say something. Surely,
yeah. Yeah, I can imagine one thing Wally would say if it wasn't great.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was quite a surprise. I would have thought he had some kind of, you know, Churchillian speech prepared for halftime. But he just sort of says, read that, talk amongst yourselves. The captain obviously has some words to say. And if you've had a terrible game, his idea is you know you've had a bad game and you don't need someone to tell you.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Mm. The other thing was penalty takers, which is obviously very interesting for us because of what happened at Wembley when we got promoted. But he says we don't have any set penalty takers now. So whoever's on the pitch and whoever fancies it can take it.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a fairly modern way of doing it. However, it is going to lead to some issues if we get any this year.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously will get some.
We had three last season, didn't we?
Yeah.
I don't think we had any till like February.
We had four. First one was a Rochdale, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had four penalties missed to them.
Yeah. So he said basically anyone other than Piggott could take a penalty this season.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
Who would you have, personally? Who would you pick?
I quite like Anthony Wordsworth. I think all Will Nightingale.
Would you?
Yeah. I like centre-halves taking penalties. Don't bother placing it. Just hit it as hard as you can. Hope the keeper goes the wrong way.
Well, if he doesn't, just go
into the net with it.
Yeah.
Well, Luke O'Neill, if he takes penalties like he's taking some of those free kicks... But I've seen him use that one at Luton last season. It was a cracking goal. Also, apparently, Tom Eaves of Gillingham was at our game on Fridays. I'm not sure that was true. I didn't know.
I didn't see him, but I've been told he was.
He's hardly a subtle-looking man, though, is he?
Yeah, that's the thing. I would have think more people would have seen him had he been there.
Yeah,
but he doesn't inconspicuously slide into anywhere, does he, Tom Eaves?
Not really.
And also, when Molly's been going on about having our budget cuts, sort of signing Tom Eaves is one that wouldn't really fit in line with that.
Again, he's been linked, but he'll go somewhere.
He's been linked like Championship clubs, has he not?
Yeah, Championship High and League One.
Yeah.
But, you know. But yeah, the lineup thing was interesting. Wally did admit that they stumbled across that formation last year. It wasn't planned. Okay, let's try this. Let's see if this. It was like, well, we've got those players left over. Let's give that a go.
Yeah.
And it was a Fleetwood away game in the cup where we played some fantastic football and should have won by more than 3-2. And it was a formation they stuck to, and it worked. You can pick it apart and you can say, well, it was lucky or it was this. We didn't play to our strengths. We didn't do this, didn't do that. We stayed up.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't care.
Yeah.
And none of us thought that would happen at Christmas.
Yeah, well, at Easter.
Yeah.
No, and Christmas. You know, all the Christian holidays. I don't know anymore. But I think I was surprised. In March, we were 9 points adrift. February the 10th, we were 9 points adrift.
Yeah, straight after the Sunderland game, yeah.
Not from safety, at the bottom.
Yeah.
And we've stayed up. People are still posting on Facebook that they can't believe we stayed up, and it is amazing that we did it.
Of course it is. Was there anything else particularly of note from the Meet the Manager?
Well, I did accuse Wally of sexual assault, didn't I? But that's a long story. No, I said very briefly, 40 years ago, the 79-80 season, the team photograph, you were allowed, because it was on a school holiday day, they invited kids to come down. And for £5, you could have your photograph taken with the team. So the team would line up, and then 10 kids would come along and have a photograph taken and then shuffle out, and then 10 more came. And we all had... If you didn't have a Wimbledon shirt on, you were given a shirt, so you looked like you were a member of the squad anyway. Yeah. And I had the unfortunate position of being standing in front of Wally Downs, 19-year-old Wally Downs at the time. And just as the guys clicked the shutter, he pinched my bottom very, very hard indeed. I mean, to the point where it wasn't particularly painful. But I thought they'd take another picture. So can I have another? And he goes, no, next lot.
Yeah.
And so when the picture came about a month later in a cardboard tube, I'm going, ah! Both hands are in the air, my mouth's open, and I'm half turning around. And Wally Downs is nudging Ray Knowles. Going, yeah, wee. So I mentioned that to Wally. He didn't remember anything, but he got a laugh, didn't it? So that was quite nice. But I can show you where the nasty man touched me. But it was an interesting way to finish off. But no, I think the transfer targets thing is what people really want to know. Mm. You can ask hundreds of questions. Somebody suggested signing Ellen White, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know if he meant it or not, but it's quite funny. I think Lucy Bronze at right back would probably work. Yeah. But
contracts were also discussed.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Because the club traditionally, under Terry Brown, we did 1+1 contracts.
Yeah.
Under Neil, we did 2 years flat.
Yeah.
Wally's coming in and said he wants 3+1 year contracts, which for us is obviously a huge financial investment. But it means if a player does well, you can sell him rather than losing him for a free, which is what has been happening for us for a very long time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good idea. It ties them down, and it means, as you said, you get the likes of Tom Elliott and Lyle Taylor, who are great players, and leave. And Deji Ojalaja leaving. Still not got a club, has he? Interesting enough. But, you know, you got those three players. You're probably looking at best part of £2 million worth of talent just gone.
Yeah.
And now Toby Civic being the first one we've got money from. It may be not as much money as we wanted, but it's more than would have. It's a lot more than nothing. But yeah, Tuesday's interesting. Bristol City signs and good player signed Sammy Smodic from Colchester. I've got links to Colchester. Why I keep mentioning them? They've
spent money.
They've spent money. They've spent £6 million this summer.
Thomas Callas, the Chelsea defender. Yeah, they made that on permanent. I'm trying to think what else they did.
They got Daniel Bentley in from Brentford. Yes, goalkeeper.
Yeah, very good goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, also we mustn't forget they won 14-0 yesterday.
Yeah, but against a team of the Gloucestershire Third Division, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was Step 5, which is Combined Counties League equivalent. So.
But you think our next two opponents, because Kickers Offenbach won 15-0.
Yeah.
two sides in form.
Yeah, it's going to be a very long week.
If you can keep it below double figures, it'd be...
I'd be quite happy, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're playing a former European Champions Cup side.
That's
in
true.
Between those two games.
And Kaiserslautern won the Bundesliga in 1998,
didn't it? Yeah.
So Bundesliga champions. But then again, we say we won the FA Cup, so... I think the German trips are going to be interesting, just because who's going to play? Because we've got two games in 2 days, but one evening game, one afternoon game, so not even got much time to rest. Well, and it's quite a journey. It's like 70 mile between them as well. So,
Wally did say that he's planning on playing 60-30 across the 2 days, so I'm imagining it will be sort of a similar split to what we saw this week. But it'll be interesting to see how he does that, because the game on the Saturday is against weaker opposition, but in a much more competitive environment. It's in a much more... Sort of a Football League level stadium.
Yeah.
Even though it's against much weaker opposition. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with that. But also, we must forget, the team we planned on the Friday, I can't remember how to pronounce it.
Kaiserslautern.
They beat FC Sanderhausen 1-0.
How can you do FC Sanderhausen but not Kaiserslautern?
This is George all over.
You just rolled that one out there.
Kaiserslautern.
Yeah. I'm as surprised as anyone else.
Yeah.
But they beat a team in division above them 1-0 on Thursday. So. Yeah. You know, these are two really tough games in 2 days.
Mm.
And my understanding is the under-18 squad isn't travelling either. So we might not have such a strong squad as we had. No.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
They're doing a team bonding camping week this week.
Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
They've gone to PGL. Excellent.
Camping and forced fun. Oh, God.
No, I'm with you there, Jake.
I can't imagine anything worse.
I agree as well. But interesting enough, Kaiserslautern, because I can say that, Kaiserslautern haven't kind of made any contact with us at all, as far as we know. But Kickers Offenbach, because you know we had them on the show.
Yeah.
And they've been in constant touch. George is going to be doing the co-commentary from the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thanks to their media team, so would one of you like to do it. Yeah. So George got a chance to do it.
Don't mess it up.
As someone who dropped out of GCSE French and don't speak a word of German, it's going to be a roaring success.
But they want you to do it in English because they want to learn your English, which also worries me a bit too.
Yeah, I'm not the person they should learn from, really.
And
tomorrow I'm sending them the MP3s of the FA Cup final song and of the 1997 classic Smells
This
Like
is nice.
Team Spirit. Yeah. We're going to be running out to either the Cup final song. What was that called? The Don song, wasn't it? What's the Cotton song called?
We Are Wimbledon.
We Are Wimbledon, of course it is, yeah.
It's such, come on, such I'm disappointed
dirge.
In you,
it's
Kevin.
It's a dirge of a song. So that's why...
It's almost like you sort of wrote the other one.
I did write that one, yeah. 1997 sounds like Team Spirit. We'll be running out to that, so that's fun. And they're doing a quiz in their programme and stuff, and they've got a local radio doing a couple of features on it. They've just asked, while I was here, they want us to send some bullet points.
Yes.
Which to Germany seems a bit strange. That's just a war joke. So they're doing some interesting
stuff. Get them out
stuff.
Of the way now, Kevin.
They're doing some interesting stuff. So it's nice. It's a very friendly club. And we're being very welcomed by the local Offenbach community.
Oh, wonderful. George, you're going to be here next week, aren't you?
Yes.
Fresh off the back of that trip. So I look forward to that, chap. It's been a pleasure as always. It's been the FC Wimbledon Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.